Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf memvav. We're holding the second line from the top of the Omid. As you recall, we started off our perek saying that midrabanan, there are five categories of those who are nishba v'noitel. Because mina toira you're nishboin v'loy mishalmin. Midrabanan nishba v'noitel. What was the first category? We had hasochir. Socher being an employee. We explained it in some detail yesterday, that you have a dispute between the maskir and the socher, the employer and the employee, on payday, where the employer is sure that he's paid off all of his schiram, all of his employees. One employee raises his hand and says, no, you didn't pay me. Of course I paid you. No, you didn't pay me. So the chum said, because the maskir is torid bipui alov, and remember the Yerushalmi said he's torid ba'asokov, he's very, very busy with all of his overhead issues that he has to deal with, so he doesn't realize that he forgot to pay Yankel his wages on payday, and therefore you allow Yankel to go and be nishba v'noitel. So that's the halach of the Mishnah, as developed in the Gemara. And then at the end of yesterday's daf, we spoke about the inyan of ketzitza. What means ketzitza? When there's a dispute between the masker and the socher as to what the wage was going to be, what was the price? For instance, an uman who said he's going to go and fix the guy's suit, and afterwards he comes to pick up his suit. No, you owe me $2. What do you mean $2? We made up for $1. So now we have a dispute once again between the masker and the socher, between the balabos and the uman who wins. So I might have thought here too, we should believe the uman and let him go and be a nishba v'noitel and get his two. And the Gemara said, no. When it comes to the inyan of ketzitza, ha-moitzi mechabel olvaraya, he, the uman, is going to have to go and prove his case that he is entitled to go and get two and not just one. What's the reason why? And the Gemara used the expression of ketzitzi midkar dochile. When it comes to ketzitza, then the maskir doesn't forget. He could forget and overlook one employee among 20 or 40 or 50 employees. But if they made up a rate, and there is a dispute now, presumably there was a dispute at the beginning, and there was some dialogue and give and take, and the employer knows very, very well, we made up for one and not for two, etc. So therefore, if he, the woman, wants to go and get two by ketzitza, ha-moitzim chaveirei olhav harayim. That was a braisa that we had at the end of yesterday's daf, and now the Gemara continues to delve into this inyan of ketzitza, and this is going to take up most of the Omid Aleph, as you will see. So Omar b'Yemre bar Abba, sholchulei mi beir Rav l'Shmuel, from the Bismedish of Rav, they sent the following shaila to Shmuel. Apparently, Rav may already have passed away, and so therefore, they no longer can ask their Rebbe, so Shmuel being the successor to Rav in terms of being the Gadol, they asked Shmuel, what is your view? The Uman says, we made up for two. We only made up for one. We're on the fifth line over here, so we're probably over here somewhere. So who is going to make the Shvua now? Meaning, normally you would go and say, the masker, the balbus, he should have to make the shvua because he's the one that's moedim emiktzis. The uman is demanding two. I agreed to one. Moedim emiktzis, he should have to make the shvua. On the other hand, we said in our Mishnah that when it comes to a sachir, he's the nishba v'noitel. The chum took away the shvua from the masker, gave it to the sachir. Oh, so what would be the din over here? Mi nishba. Omelem Zishmul said, v'zu in this case, yishba balabayis v'yafsid uman. In other words, not like the case of our Mishnah where we say that the socher makes a shvua. Here the maskir, the balabayis, makes a shvua, and the yafsid uman, and the uman will lose out because the balabayis will say, solemnly swear, it was only one and not two. He only has to pay one. Okay, so that's what he said over here in the Gemara. Now, the question is, why is it tak? Maybe it goes, b'zu yishma balabayis. Afraid of the yafsid uman, why should the uman lose? That's already as far as the Gemara said yesterday at the top of the Yomid Beis, that when it comes to Ktsitsa, here there is no dispute as to people's recollection. Here the masker says, oh, I know very, very well, we had a dispute, we had a discussion before I hired this uman, and we made up for one and not for two, and therefore we believe the balabas, he has to make a shvua, but we believe him. So that's what Shmuel Paskin. Now, the Gemara's Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel is the very brisa that we had at the end of yesterday's Amud Neis, where the Gemara said, when it comes to Ketitza, Ha Moitz Mechaveri, Olav Harayo. Oh, so who's the Moitz Mechaveri? That's the Uman. See, Uman is the one that has to go and bring the Raya. Look, the Gemara, V'iloi Maisi Raya, L'choyr, if he's not able to bring a Raya, Paka, then his argument or his demand for two will just evaporate, and who's going to go and win? Then the Balabas will win. And therefore, Amai Yishba Balabayis, the Yafsit Uman. Why are you telling me that the Balabas has to go and swear? The Chayre, it's automatic. Since we're saying that the Uman has to bring the Raya, if he's not able to bring a Raya, then his request, his demand, goes away. So, done. So why does the Balabas have to go and make a Shmua? So therefore, the Gemara is asking Akasha on Shmuel. Remember, Shmuel said, "Bezu yishba balabayis." Balabayis has to make a shvur. Why do you have to make a shvur? The onus to go and prove his case is on the sochir, on the uman. If the uman is able to bring a raya, he wins. But if he doesn't bring a raya, he loses. So, what is the balabash shildik? Why does he have to go and make a shvur? Although the Gemara doesn't say it, it's consigned that it's even a little bit more chamur. Because this was a psak of Shmuel, and now we're saying that Rabbi Bar Shmuel, and I don't know whether Rabbi Bar Shmuel is the son of Shmuel.
He didn't have sons, he had daughters.
Okay, so then apparently he was not a son. But bottom line is, we're asking Akasha on Shmuel from this Braisa, where this Braisa is very, very direct and says that the Uman has the burden of proof to go and bring Edom to show that he's right, and Shmuel is saying, no, the Balabas will go and make a Shmuel. Pray to him or a Favos. And bring my Omer of Nachman. So Nachman says, "Sinishver Shmuel litzdodin kitani." The often when it says litzdodin means that a brayis or a mishnah says two halachas, and don't think that they are both in the same case. But litzdodin in one case it's X, in one case it's Y. Here the litzdodin kitani is a little bit different. What Rav Nachman is saying is that the brayis is only bringing one of the two ingredients of the answer to our question. What do you do in a case where there is a dispute between the masker and the sochir, the gabe kitzitza? So the braisa is only bringing one half. What means one half? Oy mei viraya v'yito. That's the braisa's part that we quoted in the Amud Beis, so we just quoted again here now, that hamoitz chomeri olav araya, and that is, the onus is now on the sochir to go and bring a raya that it was two and not one. And if he's able to go and prove it, Yitro will be able to go and get his second, not just one zuzim, but two zuzim. So that's one side of the answer. But what happens if he's not able to go and bring a raya? Says Rav Nachman, that's where Shmuel now filled in the blank. If there is no possibility in the part of the socher to go and bring a raya, we do not say let the socher make a shavua, like we said normally, the socher is nishba v'noitel, but rather, if he cannot bring a raya, then the shvua goes back to the balabas. Or yishba balabayis v'yafsit uman, let the balabas make the shvua, and then the uman will lose out. So we have those two alternatives. We first allow the uman to prove his case. If he can prove it, wonderful. But if he can't prove his case, then he doesn't make the shvua goes to the balabas.
Could he prove his case with aid echad, or he needs two aidim?
He'd have to have two aidim, or with a shtar.
Didn't we have cases before, even with one aid, you could force the other person to make a shvua?
That is correct, but that doesn't mean that you win the case. The person might make the shvua, might not make the shvua. If he makes a shvua, then the other person will win. If the person decides, I'm not going to make a shvua, then that fellow will win. Anyway, yes?
Is there a difference between uman and a sachir?
Not for our purposes. Our Gemara assumes they're both exactly the same. The only question, the reason why the Gemara distinguishes and uses the term sachir and uman is to clarify in our minds the difference between just getting schiras, your weekly salary, and an uman that's getting paid for the job, for the contract. And the uman, for instance, if he's a tailor, if he's a plumber, he's an electrician, whatever they made up, and now after he finished the job, if that uman says, I want the higher price, then we believe the masker that says, no, we negotiated a price. I know you weren't happy, but you agreed to the smaller price, and that's the price that I'm willing to give you. And since the uman is the moitzi mechaveri, all of haraya, and if he's not able to bring a raya, instead of his making a shvur like a normal sachar, nishma v'noitel, the shvur goes back on the balabas, and he's going to make the shvur that that's the amount that they agreed to, v'yafsiru. So we've answer the first kasha that we had on Shmuel from the Braisa, and we said that in fact there are two different options or alternatives in this situation. But the Gemara is going to ask yet another kasha from another Braisa. He gave his talis to Uman, presumably to fix, to sew up, to clean, whatever he gave it to the Uman. At the end of the day, now Uman Omer Katsatz Lishtai. Okay, I'm ready to give you back the talis, it's all done, it's fixed, please give me two. Don't you remember we only made up for one? Okay, so now it depends. Kol's manja talis biyat Uman, if the Uman is still holding on to the talis in his hand, because he's holding on to the goods, and the Uman's going to say, I'm not going to give you the talis until you give me the two zuzim. Of course, the balabas is furious at him, but bottom line is, he's the one that... Exactly. He is the muhsik, the Uman is the muhsik on the talis, and now, if the balabas wants to get his talis back, for which he has to go and pay ransom of either one or two, he's going to have to bring the raya as to whether it was one or two. Okay, that's simple, and that's not our case. Rather, nosali bismani. What happens if the Uman handed over the talis already? And now it's bismani, meaning on the day that they made up, you're going to go and finish cleaning the talis, fixing the talis by Friday. It's now Friday, Erev Shabbos. He handed it over to him, and now he says, nu, give me geld. So what's the din? If the balabas and the talisman, the Uman, are having a dispute, Nishba ben Noitel. Who's the Nishba ben Noitel? Obviously the Sochir or the Uman. Oh, so it's just like our Mishnah. Oh, so it's not a din of Ktsitzer Midchat Chirinchi and we hand it over to the Balabas, but we say that even in the case of Ktsitzer, it's the Uman that can go and make the Shvuah, Nishba ben Noitel, and he can go and get his full two and not just one. But that's only Bismani. Over his money once the date has passed, in other words, he was supposed to deliver the goods on Friday, and he called up the Balbus, no, pick it up, and the Balbus says, I'm very busy today, I'm coming over on Sunday or Monday or whatever it is. Anyway, over his money, then Hamoitzim Chaveri, Olhov Haraya. Then, since the Zman has passed, now he, the Uman, is going to have to go and prove his case, and prove that, in fact, he's entitled to two. The Shmuel will not be sufficient. Bottom line, let's go back to the essential case that we're talking about. Didn't we say, according to Shmuel, Shmuel said that if we have a machloikis in Kitzitza, and that's the machloikis over here, like Kitzatzi Lachas, no, Kitzatzi Lishtayim. So that's the case. What did Shmuel say? He said, Yishba Balabayis V'yafsin Uman. And now you're saying in this Braisa that instead that the Uman makes the Shvuah, and if he makes the Shvuah, he will win. So, the Chorizei Shver on Shmuel that said that the Shvuah is retained by the Balabas and not by the Sochir. On Nachma Yitzchak. No, what Shmuel was talking about is a Liba Derabbanon. However, Homani, this Braisa is a Das Yochid, it's Rabbi Yehudihi. The Omer calls man Shvua noita etzel balabayis. Wherever you have a situation where the Shvua seems to reside balabayis min hatoira, sochir nishba benoita. In the case of a sochir or an uman, the rabbanan said, move it over to the sochir. Aha! So that's why in this brisa, even though we're talking about kitzitza, not about wages, nevertheless we say he's nishba benoita. Who says that? That's Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara now is answering, according to Shmuel, that in fact there's a machloikis in the case of Ketzitza. If it's not a Ketzitza, it's a regular payment of Schiris on payday, everybody agrees, then Yishba, the Socher, is Nishba Benoit, and he gets his salary. That everybody agrees to. However, if you talk about an Uman, there you have a machloikis, where Shmuel says that according to the Rabbanan, then the Shvua is retained by the Balabus because of the fact that Ktsitsa mitchat chirienchi, the Balabus makes the Shvuah, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, even though it doesn't identify that this is Rabbi Yehuda, but that's the teretz of the Gemara at this point, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it's Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it goes over to the Socher, just like a normal case of a Socher on payday, Nishba v'noitel, here too, Nishba v'noitel. Frank Timur, you're telling me this is Rabbi Yehuda, hi Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda are you talking about? Even Rabbi Yehuda Masnisin, we have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. It cannot be Rabbi Yehuda Bar Mishnah because Achmurei Kom Machmir. Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir vis-a-vis the socher, vis-a-vis the employee. And he says, no, don't automatically go and give the shvuah to the sacher. Where do we find that the Mishnah that he's machmir did not rebut Aimer Achatei Sham Mitzas Haida'a? What does that mean? Back in our Mishnah, you recall, we looked at it before, that in the case of a regular sacher, it comes payday, the employer says, I paid you already, and the sacher says, no, you didn't, and what's the din? Then the sacher is Nishba V'Naito. Says Rabbi Huda, only in a case where the Balabuz has a Chiv Shvua Min HaTorah. Where does he have a Shvua Min HaTorah? That he, the sacher says, you owe me $50 for the week's work, and the Balabuz says, no, I only owe you $25. Why? Because I already paid you part of it. So I have now a case of Moedim and Mikzis. So normally I would say Moedim Mikzis, who has to make the Shvuah, the mask here. However, because he's Torah B'Payalav, we throw the Shvuah over from the Balabuz to the Sochir. So says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not in all cases. Only in a case where there's a Mikzis Hoidah. If there's no Mikzis Hoidah, if it's you, the masker says, I don't owe you a penny, I paid you everything. And the socher says, you didn't pay me anything, a real koifer bakol situation. That's where the Tanakhama says, Nishba v'noitel, says Rabbi Yehuda, no. In that case, it would be the balabus that would make the shvur, and he would be free from having to pay. We would not give it to the socher. The only time we give it to the socher is if there was a moidim miktsas situation. So what do I see from this? That Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis the employee is machmer. Machmer in the sense that the employee is not going to be able to go and just say, simply, in all cases, nishva v'noitel make a shvur. Only in the limited case where there is a shvur min ha-Torah on the balabus, which the chacham have transferred to the socher. So therefore, the ability of the socher to go and make a shvur and to be noitel is restrained and limited according to Rabbi Yehuda. That being the case, Frey Timara, it doesn't make sense that in our Braisa, you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is Mekel vis-a-vis the Rabbanan. In which respect is he Mekel? Because Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that Shmuel is talking on Libid Rabbanan. And what did the Rabbanan say? That the Balabus, he's the one that makes the Shvua, the Yafsid Uman. And now you're telling me, no, Rabbi Yehuda is much more lenient vis-a-vis the Uman. And he says, the Uman can be Nishba v'noitel and receive the money. Oh, so then, if anything, I find that Rabbi Yehuda here is being Mekel vis-a-vis the Uman, allowing the Uman to be able to just make a Shvua and collect. Yet in our Mishnah, he limited the Uman by saying, the Socher, you can only collect if there is a Shvua D'Oraisa, not if there's no Shvua D'Oraisa. So it would seem that the two Rabbi Yehudas would be at odds with one another. So therefore says the Gemara, you're right. When Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that that Brais is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda de Braisa, which Rabbi Yehuda de Braisa, the sign we have a brand new Braisa. Sochir calls manchle over all of Zmanai, Hariz and Nishba Benoitel. On the day, payday, Nishba Benoitel, and he gets his money. Vim Lav, however, if it's already beyond payday, then any Nishba Benoitel. And we said already in the Gemara yesterday, because once the payday is over, and the Balabus now tries to rectify his books to make sure that all the amounts that were supposed to be paid out and all the amounts are supposed to come in, he tries to go and clear it out to make sure that everything is pinklich. And now once it's beyond the Zman Chiyuva, said the Gemara, Kimoti Zman Chiyuva Rami Anafshi Midker. That at that point he has to make a final resolution of the books to make sure that all the payments were made. Oh, hey, how come there's $50 extra in the cash register? According to the books, it should be empty. Your uncle said he didn't get paid, etc., etc. So says the Gemara, so this whole din of Nishma Benoitel is only on payday and not subsequent. Imlav in a Nishma Benoitel. This is the Tanakhama. Now, the Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is now explaining the Tanakhama. Ey Masai, when did we say that the on payday, how is a Nishma Benoitel? Go and pay me the 50. The employee says, the employer, you owe me $50. You already got 25 out of the 50. So this is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, which we just quoted a minute ago, that it has to be a situation where the masker is a moide b'miktsas. Yes, I taka owed you 50. I already paid you 25, and I only owe you 25 left. Okay, that's all fantastic, but the key is now to what we're talking about here. Oisha Omalei, again, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Oisha Omalei Shtayim Katzatzta. You said that the employee says to the employer, you agreed to go and pay me a fee of two. No, I only agreed to one. Okay, so before we continue on, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold in that case? He says, Bizmanoi nishba benoitel. Ah, so that's consistent with our previous braisa that says, Bizmanoi, the uman, the sachir, is nishba benoitel. In other words, he's a koifer bakoil. I never hired you, or I hired you and I paid you the full schar. Then you have to go and bring a raya. Anyway, bottom line is, what do I see from this braisa? That Rav Nachman B'Yitzchak has found, he's located a Rabbi Yehuda in this braisa that says in the case of a ketzitza situation, the sachir or the uman is nishba ben noitel.
What do we mean by bismanui?
Bismanui means on the day that they made up. If it's a regular sochir, it's payday. So payday, let's say, in many places, is every Friday at the end of the week.
He has to claim it on the day. If he didn't claim it on the day.
If you didn't claim it on the day, and you waited to go and claim it a day later, the Gemara says, then you do not say nishba v'noitel. The only reason why on payday we allow him to be nishba v'noitel because the balabus is toted v'pay alev. He's paying off 50 employees that day, and he forgot. He, in fact, paid 49 out of 50. He was sure he paid all 50, and this 50th guy, Johnny, Yankel, unfortunately didn't go and get paid.
And the day after, this doesn't prevail?
1 second. So, the Gemara said yesterday that on that day, if the Socher makes a Shvua, Nishba Benoitel. Why? Because the Masker, even though he's the one that, especially if he's a Moedim Amixis, he should be the one making the Shvua, the Chum gave it to him because we say the Masker is too busy and therefore he was not able to really concentrate. Yeah. But the Gemara said yesterday, but once over Zmanoi, then you don't say Nishba Benoitel. Why? The Gemara said two reasons. Number one, Chazok in Balabayis over Babaltolin. A Balbos doesn't want to be over on the Baltolin. That's number one. And number two, the Gemara said, the reason is because that even though we say he's Torah B'Piyalev, Hanimil Mekame to Limtiz Man Chiyuva. Before the end of payday, he is busy and they're pulling him from all sides. Kimotiz Man Chiyuva, once the payday is over, Romi Anavshe Umitka. By that point, now he has to reconcile the books for the week to decide. He knows that every week there's payroll of quite $5,000. And now he says, hey, how come there's $50 left? I only paid out $49.50. Ah, there must be that somebody, etc. So at that point, we don't go and allow for the sachir to go and just be nishba v'noitel. We allow the masker to figure out what was the story in terms of did he pay, didn't he pay. But getting back to our Gemara now. So what the Gemara now has said is, remember we started off that Shmuel said a halacha. What did Shmuel say? That if you're dealing with a ketzitza situation, yishba balabayis v'yafsid uman. And then we brought a braisa which said, no, that even in the case of ketzitza, the uman is nishba v'noitel. The chayr is a shtar kakasha on Shmuel. And for the more, that price is going to Reb Yehuda. And we found this a price just a moment ago. We were talking about not only regular schiris, but also ketzitza, where he said, shtayim ketzatzli, vali oimele ketzatzli luch ele achas. What does Reb Yehuda say? Nishba v'noitel. Oh, so that price goes according to Reb Yehuda. Freighting Mariette. Maskevler of Shish Bereda Vidi. We're about 5-6 lines before the wide lines. Zokte elekotzatz Reb Yehuda hivle rabbanon. How did you just conclude of Nachman Yitzchak that when it says in the Braisa, by Ketzitza, there's also a din of Nishba v'noitel, like a regular sochir. So too by the Uman Ketzitza, Nishba v'noitel. It's only Reb Yehuda, not Rabban. Hashta heichi de machmir Reb Yehuda mekid rabbanon heichi de mekler Reb Yehuda mechamir rabbanon. What the Gemara is saying is lechoyra the two don't work together in tandem. Meaning lechoyra if Reb Yehuda is a machmir when we're talking about disputes between management and labor, if he's always a machmir, he should always be a machmir. If he's always lenient, he should always be lenient. But I'm finding that in the case of our Mishnah, he was a machmir. In the case of our Brises, he's being a mekel. Where do I find the machmir and the mekel? In our Mishnah, when the Tanakhama said that a sochir on payday, he just can go nishba benoitel and he gets his money. Oh, a tremendous kula. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, not in all situations. Only if it was a moedim mitzvah. If no moedim mitzvah, he cannot be a nishba benoitel. So he's a machmir. Here now, when we're talking about a case of ketzitza, what did the Tanakhama say? What are we saying? What do the Rabbanan hold? That the balabus is the one that's going to make the shvua, and he'll only have to pay one and not pay two. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no. Come on, be nice to the ummah, allow for labor's rights. And what does he say, therefore? The sochir of the ummah is nishba menoitel. So he's being now a meikel. In the case of ktsitsi, he's meikel. In the case of the schiris, he's machmir. Frank, how does this work together? Mm-hmm. Years ago in Buru Park, there still is a shul called, I think, the Bnei Yehuda shul, which is a very prominent large shul on 16th Avenue and 54th Street. And the roof of that shul was Rav Kirzner, Zechon Levracha, who was a Goyen Olam. How do I know he was a Goyen Olam? First of all, everybody knew he had a Shem. But more than that, I remember I davened there one time, I davened there a few times, but on one particular occasion, after davening was over, the roof comes over to me, Shalom Aleichem, Vosmachtir, what are you learning? So as other people would say, after the Rav asks you what you're learning, and you tell him, then he'll tell you a Dvar Torah from what he is learning. That wasn't Rav Kirta. He asked me, what was I learning? I don't remember at the time. Chweis, I think it was Daf Gittin in Gittin. What Daf? Daf Nun Zayin. Ooh, Daf Nun Zayin in Gittin. Dosi doch Marzutre. Marzutre. Oi, 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 oi. And then he would tell me about the Marzutre and Daf Nun Zayin.
Incredible.
And he'd say, we're not finished yet. And he said, there's a little bit of Marzutre you find in Mesechtes Pesachim on Daf Chov Dalid and in Ksubis on Daf Chweis Nun Hei. And the three marzutras had nothing to do with one another. One was talking about a get, one was talking about Hilchas Pesach, and one was talking about a ksuba. He was able to show that marzutra had the same approach to all three halachas. So even though they were totally unrelated, it's because marzutra always felt that you have to do this. I don't remember, he was consistent. I don't remember the specifics. This goes back about 50 years now, maybe long, whatever. And so therefore I don't remember all the details, but that was Marzutra, oh, the Marzutra, and he would show how Marzutra is consistent in Psochim and in Gittin and Ksubas.
Everything, although they were different worlds.
Totally different worlds, different halachas. He showed that they're
Rabbi
all
like that?
One of the same. Sorry?
Rabbi Gittin should sell.
That's how Ultra was able? Okay. We should also
try to sell the Chacham. But he did this. He said something and it applies to so many things.
Aha. Okay.
That you sounded. Mm-hmm. Like you knew something. He says, how do you know?
I was happy I remembered
the Gemara. How do you know that? I said, from you. He says, I never told you this.
Oh.
He said, yes, you did.
Etc. Anyway, so the Oilam HaTorah today is everything is in brisk that they try to show two dinim. Whenever you have a stira, it's a din like this and a din like that, the two different dinim.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to go merge all the dinim, show that they're all the same, that all depends on your approach and perspective on the halacha. Anyway, so why am I saying all that? We're going back here to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. If Rabbi Yehuda is with the employees, then he should be meikel everywhere. If he's with management, he should be machmer everywhere. Yet in our Mishnah, he's a machmer and says, you only get the shvua if it was that the the balabuz was a moedim amiktsas. And here we're saying the case of the ktsitsa, he's on the side of the sachir, of the uman, because he says he's nishba menoitel. Yet we said, Shmuel said on the top, no, you don't say nishba menoitel, you say that the balabuz. So therefore, Shmuel was being machmer vis-a-vis the sachir, and Rabbi Yehuda is being meikel. So Frank Timar, how can that be? Back to Timar. Okay, let's go back. Six times before. Freit Rav Shisha Baravidi. Elakotzes Rabbi Yehuda Hivale Rabban. Hash Dehegel Machmer Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda is Machmer, it has to be Moed Miktus. Make you Rabbanan. Hegel Mekel Rabbi Yehuda. We're here. Rabbi Yehuda says by the Ktsitsa that who makes the Shvua? It's the Uman that makes the Shvua. Mechamer Rabbanan said, no, we don't trust the Uman. We're going to leave the Shvua with the Balabos. So tomorrow, the Elamai, so how are you going to answer the kash? You're going to go and say that this price is Rabban. Frank tomorrow, the Elahod, the Tony, Rabbi Bashmul, Kotzat, Samoitim, Olivaraya, if that's the case, the price which says, Hamoitim, Olivaraya, Mani, Loy Rabbi Yehuda, because he's saying Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that the Socher Nishma Benoitel, Vale Rabbanan, it's not going to be the Rabbanan either. If you're going to go and tell me that it cannot be that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with himself, in one case, Mekel, in one case, Machmeh. So therefore you're going to say that this braisa of Nishba Benoitel is also the Rabbanan, and they're also Mekel. So Ibazoi, who is the one that holds that the onus is on the Sakhir or the Uman to go and bring a Raya with Raya? Mani Lerbihud of Le Rabbanan. And this is similar to what we said already yesterday. When it comes to the Sakhir, Nishba Venoitel, when did the Chachamim make a takana for the Sakhir? In a case where there was a Deraisa Shavua anyway. So what did they do? They said, since it's the Maske that would have to make the Shavua because he's saying 25 out of 50, he's a Moedim Mitzis, okay, take that Shavua from him. Shifted to the Sakhir, so instead of the Maskir being Nishba, the Einoi Mishalim, give it to the Sakhir and he'll be Nishba Benoit. But that's if it's a Deraisa. Obed Rabban, however, in a case where there was no Chiev Minat Torah on the Maskir to go and make the Shvua, maximum it was a Drabanan. What would be the Drabanan? It would be a Shvua's Hesses. Shvua's Hesses? I thought that was only from Reb Nachman's era, not earlier. But remember, we had the Rashi yesterday.
It was already in progress.
It was already in progress. Already there were disputes between the employers and the employees, apparently on an ongoing basis. So to go and set a takonic kavua, like the Gemara said, instead of allowing the balabus, we would have the socher go and make that shvur. But says our Gemara now, when did we go and transfer that shvur's hesis from the maskir to the socher? That's only if you're talking about a Shavua D'Oraisa we transfer, but not a Shavua Seses D'Rabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbanan have a Takanta. The whole Indian that the Maske would have had to go make the Shavua would be a Takanta with the Rabbanan of a Shavua Seses. The Takanta le Takanta lo Yavdinan to go and stretch this Drabbanan. In other words, the whole Shavua in the first place is a Drabbanan. And now to go and take that Drabbanan and say, okay, now let's transfer it from the Maske to the Sakhir, Takanta le Takanta lo Yavdinan, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be a case where there was a shvua d'araisa of a moedim amitzas. Rabbanan sabri, but Rabbanan nami avdin a takanta l'sochir. No, even by Rabbanan we do a takanta l'takanta, and it's all right. And that's why they hold in our Mishnah nishma v'noit. But what are we going to do with ketzitza now? Says ketzitza is really unrelated to this dispute because ketzitza mitcha docher. The whole reason why we're having rachmonis on the Sakhir, and we're transferring the Shvua from the Maske to Sakhir, whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan, is because we say the Maske doesn't remember, he's Torid B'Payalev, Torid B'Asakov, he just cannot focus at the moment. When Johnny says, I didn't get paid yet, come on, everybody else, there's a line from here to Canarsie, everybody got paid, of course you got paid. Oh, Torid B'Payalev, we go make that special Takana, and we give it to the Sakhir. However, by Ketzitza, that's not talking about payday when 50 people are in line. It's a question of how much do we make up initially before you started doing the work. Here we say, leave it to the Maske. He knows exactly what the price was. After all, he gives out jobs all the time to all of the workers in town. So he remembers exactly how much they made up. Here you do not say Nishba Venoitel, but rather Tzidit. You leave it according to Shmuel. You leave the Shmuel by the Balabais, and he will make the Shavua.
How do we reconcile the Rabbi Yehuda, just outside for a second, we have Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa.
Mm-hmm.
How do we reconcile that they were consistent with each other? Can you say that outside, please?
Sure. What we're saying is, Sakhir is fundamentally different than Uman. When we say Uman, we don't mean they're the same person. We just mean in the fact pattern. The Sakhir is talking about payday. The Uman is talking about his
collection,
getting...
Collection of the article.
Collection of payment for the article which he worked on. Yeah. It doesn't have to be Dafka Umar Tatalis. It could be a plumber that just finished fixing the sink, or the electrician that just finished the wires, the wiring. How much did they make up in advance? When it comes to a Sakhir, Kuli Al-Namoyda, the Sakhir is Nishba Venoito. The question is, why? Because it's payday and there are 50 people online, etc. The only question is, do you say that in all cases of a dispute between the employer and the employee, or only in some of the cases? So the Tanakam in our Mishnah said, in all cases, even if he's a koifu ba'koil, we take the shvua and we give it to the sakhir, nishba v'noit, he collects his money. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. There has to be a shvua d'araisa. What's a shvua d'araisa? That there was a moedim mitzvah, and then we go and transfer it. Okay, so that's one machloikis, that's one Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's machmer, because the kanta loy of dinan, there's got to be a shvua d'araisa, and then we transfer it. Ketzitza, says Rabbi Yehuda, is a totally different parsha, having nothing to do with the case of a sakhir. You have your negotiation between an employer and employee, the person who hires somebody to go and do a job for him,
a contractor,
a general contractor, a limited contractor. So now the question is, at the end of the contract, he performed the work, how much do you have to go and pay? Here we do not say, says Rabbi Yehuda, Nishba Benoitel, but rather we go and say, we will rely on the Balabus. Why do we rely on the Balabus? Number one, because the Socher, he's the Moitza Mechver of Araya. If he wants to go and prove that they had a contract for the higher price, bring the contract, bring the Eidim, go and show you. If he doesn't have any such contract, we go and say, okay, so we're going to rely on the Maskir, but as a, if you will, as a Toiva for the Uman, we'll have the Maskir go and make the Shvur. I make a Shvur that the amount was not two, but the amount was one, and then the Maskir will win, and unfortunately the employee will lose, the Sakhir or the Uman.
He doesn't have to make a Shvur.
Who doesn't have to make a Shvur? The Balabas. That's what you and I would have thought. However, Shmuel said, no, Bezu Yishba. If you go back to the fifth line, Amulahen, Bezu Yishba, Balabayis, V'yapsin Uman. That Balabayis has to go and make a Shvur. So you're going to go and tell me, but didn't you go and say on the Hamoitzim Chalev Raya that the Socher has to prove his case? So that's what the Mora Taka asked. And the Mora says, there are two ways of dealing with this. It's Don Ketani. Oy may viray v'yitol, either if the Socher can go and bring two Edom, or the contract that says, I deserve to get two. He'll win then. But what happens if he doesn't have Edom? He doesn't have a contract. Then we go back to the Balabus. Balabus, you make a Shvua, and then the Balabus wins the case. The Yafsid Uman.
That's according to Yehuda?
That was according to Shmuel at the top. Then we asked the Kasha from a Braisa, and we said, that Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, it's not the Rabban. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to Igmar.
In case of a studen, but Yeshua or Yafsid Uman, one or the other, and if no one wants to make a Shvua,
mm-hmm.
what do we do?
Good. So the Gemara does not deal with that. The Halakha Art Scroll says in the footnote that in such a case, if he's not able to make a Shvua, or doesn't want to make a Shvua, and he's not able to go and bring a Raya, that we will favor the Uman over the Balbus, and we allow the Uman to collect too. That's what it says.
Based on...
That's what the Art Scroll... He doesn't bring any Shoyrish, he just
okay.
He says it boldly, that would be the Halakha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we continue on. Nigzal Ketzer Hoyo. Okay, so we finished now with the case of the Sochir and the Uman. We go now to the Nigzal. This is much simpler in the Gemara. Nigzal Ketzer Hoyo Me'idin Oysa Shem Nichnas Lebeis Mashkana. We're not talking about a Gazlan that comes with rifles and shotguns and stuff like that.
Burglary tools.
Okay, we're talking about a situation, said the Mishnah, where you had a Malva and a Loiva, and the Loiva owed money to the Malva. The maturity date came and went, and unfortunately the loiv is not paying. And so the malva says, I'm going to take matters into my own hand. So he went, Nicholas Lebesa Lemashkina, he went into the other house to take a mashkin from him. And then he leaves. And now what happens? So we had Edim, that he, Me'idin Oysa, he went into the house. The question is, what did he take when he left the house? So now we have a dispute between the former Malvin Loiven, now, if you will, the Gazlan and the Nigzal. So the Nigzal said, you know what you took from me? You took my golden watch, and you took my silver cross, and you took my wife's jewelry, and you took a whole bunch of things. And he says, not true, I didn't take anything. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I only took one thing and not two things, so you have a moidu and mixas. But putting aside Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tanakama, I didn't take anything. I went into your house, I didn't find anything of value. I just found that you are now part of the new culture, the new generation, that even on Shabbos, you eat with plastic forks and with plastic
plates.
So that wasn't worth anything. After all, you just throw it out afterwards. So there was nothing to collect, nothing to take. Did you ever hear something like that years ago?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Okay, well, start imagining. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says that, what did it say in the Mishnah? That the Nigzal, he will be the one that will be Nishba Vanoitel. He'll say, Mister, you did take my golden watch and you did take my silver cross. You have to go and pay me back. So, Nigzal, Nishba Vanoitel. Frank Timar, all we know is that he went into the other house to take a mashkin. The Dilmaloy Mishkinai. Maybe he went in the house and he didn't take anything. Me, Loy Omer Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman.
Why did you go in if we didn't take anything?
We'll see. One second. Me, Loy Omer Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman say, Hai man denokin narge biyode. You have a person that has an axe in his hand.
To grind.
Well, not to grind, here to chop. The Omer, and he says, Ezel vi akli de dikla de planya. I'm so angry at my shochin. He doesn't greet me in the morning. He never says good morning. Never says good night. Mm-hmm. Even though I greet him, he doesn't greet me back. I'm so angry at him. So he takes his axe and he says, I'm going to go and cut down his tree. And the shtakach, and then a day later, we find the kotel vishadi, that the tree fell down, that it was cut, and it's lying on the ground. So now, I would have thought it's presumably that neighbor that's very angry was holding the axe in his hand. And we do not say conclusively the hukatle. What's the reason why? Because in English they say that person's bark is stronger than his bite.
Mm-hmm. It's the bark of that tree.
Oh, very good. You see that?
Is this a Elon Peros?
No, because we don't want to get into the question of Chas V'Shalom and Elon Mach. You're barking up the wrong tree.
You should leave.
So we see from Nachman, there are people that make guzmoy. Yes, I'm going to do it. But Lamaisi didn't do it. Even though the person burst into the other guy's house, and he says, I'm going to take Mashkin. Maybe Gozman Le'ovid. He just wanted to intimidate the exalted. He better pay up. You, Mr. Loive, it's maturity date. If this happens one more time, if you're going to delay me another week, I'm going to take it. I didn't take it. So Zokti Gemara, why do you automatically give the Shvuah to the Nigzal? Why don't you assume that this so-called Gazan didn't take anything? Everything Gemara, you have a good point. And therefore, we're going to make a small little emendation of the Mishnah. And that is, it says in the Mishnah, instead say, Umishkenoi. What means Umishkenoi? That we saw that he went into the bais and he in fact took out a mashkin. So this is not a question of bite and bark situation. He took a bit. We saw him take out a mashkin. So Frey Timura, if we actually saw Velechsi my Mishkenoi, let's ask the Edom, what did he take in his hand? What did he have there? And then what's the whole dispute? He makes a shvua, Yana makes a shvua. Let's find out, ask the Edom. Rabbi Bechonu, Rabbi Yochanan, B'tiyana, Kelim, and he told him, Tachas Kenofev. He was taking out small Kelim, which are so small that you can go and hide it underneath your jacket, underneath your coat, maybe even put it in the pocket. He didn't go and take out a large Megillah holder or the Leichter that they use for Shabbos that you wouldn't be able to put into your pocket, presumably. He took out something much smaller. He took a kos, he took a Mayim Achronim thing, without the water, of course, and he held it in his, underneath his clothing, in his pocket, whatever it was.
So now, taken a Rolex.
Maybe a Rolex, exactly. Maybe a Rolex watch. And no, so there's
we're talking about the worth of the that is worth
the value, entire, value
the
a lot of money. Exactly right, and maybe even more. So the point is that the Edom say we saw he went in. We saw when he came in, he was nicely dressed, and when he comes out, he's bulging all over from the right and from the left because there are kalim tachas. But we don't know what they are. We don't know what he took. Maybe Taka took just plastic forks and plates. Maybe that's the only thing he could find. In such a case, and then we say that certainly it's not just a question of a bark, it's a question of a bite. We don't know how much he bit. Nigzal is going to go and make the Shvua Nishvo Venaito. Now we start a new shtickle. This is unrelated to the Mishnah, new shtickle. Om Rav Yehuda. Ra'u Shehitman Kalim Tachskanafav. We see a person going into somebody else's house, and he comes out of the house with Kalim under his knafav, under his coat. We are not concerned about a Gneva over here. The question is, the yacht that he left, who do these kalim belong to? What is the discussion? The question is, did he buy the kalim or did he borrow the kalim? So if this person left the house, I bought them from the balabus, and therefore they belong to me. And the balabus says, no, I lent it to him. You see the top Rashi, balabais, oimer hishaltim loy, says, imor ein neman, afilu bishvua. When this person comes out of the house and he says, these kalim under my cloak, under my jacket, I bought them, he swears to it, he is not believed. Now from here till about halfway down the Umud, the Gemara is going to tell us that there are five limitations. Five limitations. If we don't always say Einu Neman, there are cases where we will say that he is Neman, the Kuchen Hebiyot.
You said he swore to it, and then
no, he can't does make a shvua.
Right, he doesn't. Because I thought you said he sweared, and then he's still not.
Look at the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. The second line, Einu Neman.
Afilu b'shvua.
Even if he swore, he's not believed.
Right, but they're not imposing a shvua. He's swearing on his own volition.
We have over here a dispute between the balabus who owns the house and the potential gazlan here. No, I don't want to say the word gazlan because we're going to deal with it later. We have a person.
Trespasser?
That, not even trespasser. A person, two neighbors. One neighbor goes into the other person's house. They're on very friendly terms. Now he goes out of the house holding things underneath his jacket or his coat. And we don't know what the status of those things are. So the balabu says, he borrowed them from me, and I expect he's going to give it back to me in a week or two, or whenever the term of the loan was. The other one said, no, I didn't. Don't you remember? I paid for it. I bought it. These belong to me. I'm going to make a shmur, says Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, or just Amr Rav Yehuda, what's the halacha? He's not neman even with a shmur. But now the Gemara is going to limit the breadth of that halacha. So don't get too nervous, we'll see. When do we say he's not neman? El balabai sheni osi limkor kelim. Our balabus is not in the business, or doesn't even occasionally sell his kelim. Our balabais osi limkor his kelim. They're balabatim that have, you know, a tremendous amount of inventory, especially after they've married off all of their children. They have all types of stuff left behind that they don't no longer need. So therefore, he's now able to go and say, oh, he's also limkor his kelim, and the person comes out with kelim tachas kenafav, he's neman that he bought them. Because after all, that person does sell kelim. I'm sorry, a garage sale, exactly. So he's neman. Says that's the first stipulation. That's the first, I wouldn't say stipulation, that's the first exception to the rule. And similarly, v'sheinu osa limkor his kelim nami lo yamarin, and even if he's the type of person that doesn't normally sell his kelim, when do I say I do not believe him when he said lekuchen hein biyadi, ele dvorim shein darkon lehatmin? It's dafka, those things that people typically do not hide under their coats and cloaks. Avadvorim shedarkon lehatmin, if they are the types of things that people typically do hide, why would they be something that a person would typically hide? For instance,
they're afraid of robbery.
Afraid of robbery, exactly. Maybe they're afraid of an ayin hara. Ooh, he came out with this beautiful Rolex watch. Well, I could use a Rolex watch. Ah. So therefore, he's typically matmin. Or could be, it's the type of thing that he's a little bit embarrassed, that he had to go in nechweis, he had to go and buy a new set of underwear or something like that, and they didn't give out plastic bags anymore because it's not good for the evolution and for the climate and who knows. So therefore, he's holding it out in the open. How many people do you see now on Broadway? They're holding bottles and things in their hands. They're normally carrying a bag, but the bag costs you 50 cents or a dollar. So anyway, with Warren Shadak and Hatman, then it's them. If it's those types of things that people would normally go and, in fact, hold not in the open, but underneath a coat, undercover type of items, so then he would be believed after all. And a third case, even those things which are not the derech to be matmin, when do we say we don't believe him? A person that is not a tsunua deka person, in other words, he very happy to go and show everything that he has. There are a lot of people that are very particular and want to keep everything to themselves, and so therefore, this is what he normally does. He holds things under his cloak. What difference does it make? You're hiding under the cloak, not under the cloak. So Rashi says, because if he was borrowing something, he doesn't want everybody else in the community to know that he needed to go and borrow an extra pan or an extra pot from his next door neighbor. What, you couldn't afford your own pot and pan? You had to go and borrow it. So therefore, he doesn't want people. Maybe it's a big party. Maybe it's not. But the point is, maybe it's the type of item that everybody in the community has at least one or two, and he doesn't have one. He had to go and borrow it. So therefore, when he takes it under his cloak, it looks a little bit suspicious. But even happens to be an inish tzniyah, he normally, everything that he does bitzniyahs. He doesn't go and proclaim it or publicize it. So in orche, that's his normal derech. And furthermore, when do we say again that einoi neman, where the discussion was, like we started off at the top of the Yamid, that the balabus, that in his house, this person who was just visiting, the visitor said, I bought it, and the balabus said, no, you borrowed it. Al begnuvim, if however the balabus is saying that you stole it from me, to go and start suspecting a person being a ganav, a gazlan. I mean, obviously there are the ganavim and gazlanim there in society, but I'm not automatically going to go and suspect that this person happens to be a ganav. So if he says the kuchane miyadi and he makes a shvua, he would in fact be naman. And furthermore, we're talking about those things that people do lend, and therefore if he says the kuchane miyadi, those types of items that people typically do not lend one to the other, and we'll see in a moment why not, because they typically get worn down and they deteriorate, and therefore I don't want to go and lend it to somebody else who may not be so careful and is going to use it. So then, so why did he go and quote unquote lend this item to the visitor? Because he didn't lend it to him, he sold it to the visitor. So then he would be Neman. So as you see, even though we started off boldly, Einoi Neman, even with a Shvuah, it really depends on the circumstances. You have at least five different exceptions to the rule. You Osir Limkar as Kalim, not Osir Limkar, Osir Lahatman, not Osir Lahatman, Ish Tzaniyah, not an Ish Tzaniyah, She'ulun Lekuchen or Genuvim, and finally, Dvar Masir Lahash Lahaske. Because in all those other cases, he would be Neman after all with the Shvuah that Lekuchen ain't Biyadi, and we would not believe the owner of the house who said, I just lent it to him. Now, on this final piece about the Dvar Masir Lahash Lahaskir, that we're making chilik if it's the type of thing that people lend or the type of thing that people do not lend, says Yemora, I'll bring you a raya from a real life story. The Sholech Rav Huna bar Avin, Dvorim Masuyin Lahashul Lahaskir. The Omer Lekuchen Heim Biyodi, Einoi Neman. If you have a type of thing which people typically lend to one another, person goes into the library to go and borrow some books, and then if afterwards the library sends him a notice, you owe me the books, and he says, no, I bought them from you. The library is in the business of lending books and not in selling books. And therefore, Dvar Masin L'Hashul Haskir, V'Om L'Kachem Yodi, Einoi Neman, he's not believed. And of course, the reverse, but it's a Dover She'Einoi Osir L'Hashul Haskir. People typically do not lend these items. If he says, L'Kachem Yodi, he would be believed after all. And the Gemara tells us a story. He heard the Rava, Apik Zuga de Sarbel of the Safa de Agarata, Mi Yasmi, Dvar Masin L'Hashul U'L'Haskir. What was the story over here? We had two people, Yankel and Beryl. Yankel went and lent Beryl a zuga de sarbala. Zuga de sarbala, a zug is a scissors. De sarbala means of people that are tailors or people that are cutting wool, cutting fabric. In other words, we're not talking about private scissors like you and I would have at home, but a professional, commercial type of scissors that which are used for in a professional business. Thank you. V'safdi agadata, or a sefer agada, as opposed to a regular sefer. Ligabi sefer, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Ayin Yaakov.
Oh, very good. So those two, zuga desav, v'safdi agadata, Yankel had lent to Beryl. At least that's what Yankel says. Yankel has rayas that these items belonged to him for the last 20 years. Now, Beryl unfortunately passed away. And now the Yisoyimim are in possession of that zuga desav, v'safdi agadata. They're assuming that this was bought by their father, by their mother, and that it belongs to them. I mean, that's the reason why it's residing in their home. But they don't realize that, in fact, this was just a loan and this was not purchased. Ah, so what did Rava do? Ah, because he took away these items from the assignment. The Dvorim Wasuin LaHashul Haskir, since these are things which typically people lend and people don't sell, and Yankel goes and brings two Adam that the Zuga Sarbala originally belonged to him, and the Sefer Agarata originally belonged to him, so why is it in the home of Beryl and now his assignment? Because it must be in that the Dover Osil Hashul Haskir. But in a Chanam, if the Dover Sha'ini Osil Hashul Haskir, Yankel would never have lent these things because Chasid Shomim don't want the scissor to break or get a dent or get a notch on it, and you want the Sefer Agarata, you don't want it to get torn and to get old and to get used up. Oh, so then you would go and say, in fact, that they sold it to Beryl, and that's why it belongs. So you see that this distinction between Dvar Ma'as, the Hashul Haskir, is already, we see this already from Rava.
He takes it without
the Shana Chazak. Oh, and the this person might see it any time taken from the same. Anyway, you have to go make a Shvuah. But even besides that, Rashi says, by virtually all the cases, he has to go and make a Shvuah. For lo yamorim, v'lo yamorim, v'lo yamorim, you have to go make a Shvuah. He's an Ishma Benoto, yeah. Say, take for instance, if you see the Rashi, V'loya Moran, you see the Rashi?
Adam Beinani.
Adam Beinani, so 10 lines at the top. V'loya Moran, ba'adam Beinani, da'inan Neman. Remember, Rav Yehuda said at the top, ain't a Neman. El, which is Elma the Kulcha, but Elma Shulim. Avim Amul Eganav Toysam, Lav Kol Kuminei, V'yishba Zeh, he has to make a Shvua, Shul Lukulcha Neim. Next Rashi, El Bedvor Masun Lahashul Haskir, but no Hudi Amri and the Chiyom the Kuchen and Neman, because people typically lend them. Avdvor Mshenasun Lahashul Haskir, Shabalim Chosin Alem, Fisham Eskalkin, Neman, Lishova Lishuk. So each time, Rashi always says you have to go make that Shvua. So you always make a Shvua. The only question is, are you believed or you're not believed? As a general bold statement, says Rabbi Yehuda, you say Lekuchen Abiyadi, Ein Neman. But as you see, there are five exceptions to the rule. If the person who, quote unquote, sold it to him is in the business of selling items in his home, then he's Naaman with the Shavua. If it's the type of thing that people are typically Matmin, then he's Naaman. If he happens to be Ish Tsunua, he's Naaman. If it's a case of Gnuvim, he would be Naaman. You can't be Machzik Somer be a Ganav. And similarly, if it's a Dovash, then why is he holding on to it? It was the time that he bought it, then he would be Naaman Beishwa. Fine. Zokti Maria Dvaita Umarov. Going back to the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that the Nigzal, if someone came into his house, a Mishkan, he took something out. The question is, did he take? Didn't he take? How much did he take? Oh, well, said the Mishnah that the Nigzal is Nishba Benait. Umarov. Afilu Shoimer Nishba. What happens if the owner of this house is not home, he's in the office, and throughout the day he has a shoimer watching to make sure there are no gzeilus and ganeivus, and unfortunately this guy ran into his house. He came out with things underneath his cloak. We don't know what that is. So we said that the nigzal is nishba. Not only the nigzal, but also his shoimer, it also is nishba. And not only that, after the ishri shal shoimer nishbas. Presumably, where does the Isha Shal Shoimer reside? Presumably she dreitzach there by the Shoimer. So she also sees people coming in, going out. And if they say, we are missing here a gold kos or a gold Rolex watch or whatever, and they are willing to make the Shavua, we believe not only the owner, but also the Shoimer and the Isha Shoimer.
Isn't the owner Gebedev or the Shoimer? Because the Chayev, if he's a Shoimer, he's chayav.
Isn't the balabus also negev
adover? No. I'm saying, but balabus is a toin. But a shomer is he's not going to be out of pocket if it's okay. I look, but if he's a shomer sucker, it's chayav negev avaveda. So how can he make a shua in something where he is, he's making a he's a party to the
negev
adover.
Well, the shomer says they know nothing about it. If he was not nishba, he would say, I was standing here the whole time. Yes, people came in, gone out, but I didn't see anybody steal anything. I'm not aware of any missing Rolex watches or anything else. Kreishish v'ngonish. Boy, Rapapa, what about Schiru l'kito in Mai? What happens even not the formal Shoimer, but this was a housekeeper or someone that is working there in the house, but not as a Shoimer, it's done. And now he's the one that wants to go and make the Shvua. Yes, I can be Nishba, they stole the Rolex watch or whatever it is. So they want to take you. I don't know how far this thing went. He's also negev. I don't know if he's negev because he's not hired to be a shoyman. Okay, right. Amalei Rav Yemi L'Ravashi. Tano b'kasa de kaspa mai. We keep on talking about a Rolex watch or a silver cost and all the rest. Nowadays, of course, almost everybody has a silver cost. Not everybody has a Rolex watch. But people have expensive items at home. The question is, in the good old days, most people couldn't afford a kasa de kaspa. So if a nigzal says, he stole my silver, you have a silver cost, come on, give me a break. You probably never saw a silver cost in your life. These are so expensive. So Tonu b'kasa de kaspa mai. What do we see now? What do we say? So it's very simple. Chazina. He inish de omid hu. If he happens to be a wealthy individual, oi. Inish de mehemin hu. Or he happens to be a person that has a reputation of sterling integrity in the community. The mifkidi in shigabei. The mishtaba v'shokal. Then he can go make a shvua, just like any nigzal. Nishba v'noito. V'loi. But if the guy is never a poor guy, or the person is a kind of has somewhat of a shady reputation, so people are not going to lend him any koises. And if he's a poor guy, he doesn't own any koises. If he's going to make a shvua like that, that's going to be a shvua shav or a shvua shaker. And loy, we will not believe him in that situation. My father, Chaim Lebruch, always used to tell the story. Many of you may remember Reb Lezer Schreiber. Chaim Lebruch was my uncle who used to daven here. So Reb Lezer, and he used to learn the daf with us. He had an older brother, Reb Abram Schreiber. Abram Schreiber was a very choshev yid. My uncle Reb Lezer was very choshev. They were fourth generation after the Heidich Chassam Sofer.
This was from your father's side or mother's side?
My mother's side. The two, my mother, Lashem, and Mrs. Schreiber were sisters. Mm-hmm. Both Rosenblatt's for nine. Okay, anyway, we're getting back to the story. The story is told that he, Abram Schreiber, once went on a bishol. Bishol means he once went on a date, when he was, of course, a bucher, and he went into a person's house, and he met with a young lady, etc. He comes home, and then the parents, of course, now do the drisha v'chakir, and what do you say? And so, among other things, he said that when he was there, they had a beautiful bookcase, in which they had beautiful items. They had some silver leichter, and they had silver koises, and other silver things. So, apparently, these people are of means. So then someone commented, who says, maybe it didn't belong to them, maybe they just borrowed them and put them there in the vitrine because of the shidduch, they wanted to go impress it. Somebody else responded, you have nothing to worry about. Nobody would lend this fellow anything because he didn't trust him. Because his reputation in the community, nobody would lend. It must be that he owns those items. He didn't go and borrow them from anyone.
So he's got no shidduch.
Whether he went on the shidduch fight, I don't know, but that was the story that was told. You don't have to worry about it. He was not the one that married my aunt. It was his brother that married my aunt. I told you already the story about Rabbi Shreiber that in 1933, I think it was, when they had the Knesset Gedoyle in Vienna. So Reb Chaim Oizer came from Vilna to be there, and Reb Chaim Oizer came on his own, and so therefore they asked Abram Shreiber, who was at that time an older bucher, that he should go and be his Shabbos, his right-hand man, and take him and go with him, and everything, one place to place. For the next week, he took care of Reb Chaim Oizer like his own son or like his own father. He took care of him 24 hours a day. Very, very good. Anyway, at the end of that period, Reb Chaim Moshe is about to leave, and he says to Abram, I want to give you a brucha. What's your brucha? You should be zoicha to save a toiva, old age. So he asked him, and Rebbe, how much is that? How much is save a toiva? 100 years. You can be zoicha to live 100 years. That's a nice brucha, especially Yom Mehem in the 1930s, to go and say, live 100 years. Anyway, Abram Shaiva Baruch Hashem, he was saved from the war. He came here to America. In the 1950s, he was in Mount Sinai, deathly ill, where all 18 doctors and 12 physicians and 50 nurses are all willing to go and sign his death certificate that he's not going to make it. Anyway, he said, I have nothing to worry about. I have a bracha for Chaim Moizer. Anyway, and he was in that time, he was in his 50s at the time, maybe 60s, twice. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, he survived the operation, he survived the machla, and then in later years, when he was already in his 80s and 90s, he said about all those doctors that all of them have predeceased him. They've already all passed on. The doctor, but the physicians and the nurses, they're all in the Olam Emes, and he's the only one that's still around, and he passed away at the age of 102 years old. And wow. Until 101, 101 and a half, he had all of his faculties, both physical and mental. He was totally with it. Abracha for Nagrosa Godel is Abracha. And that's what we need. We need a lot of bruchas nowadays. So let's continue on. And we go now to the next case of Nechbal Keitzad. What's the mas of Nechbal? Remember, it's in the Mishnah. If somebody comes out of somebody's house and he's all bloody, he has a whole bunch of wounds, and he says, that guy did it, and he said, I didn't do it. He makes a shvua and he's able to collect. And once again, Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends on if there were two chabalas. He said, I only made one, I didn't make two, and you haven't made the mitzvahs. Exactly. Okay. So Nechbal Keitzad. So what's the case of Nechbal? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Shvua. When do we say Nechbal is able to make a shvua? Nishba v'noitel, loishonu el v'mokim sheyochel chabel b'atzmai. V'mokim sheyochel chabel b'atzmai, noitel shloi b'shvua. You know the reason why he has to make a shvua? If he was able to go and make a chavola on himself, in other words, he went into somebody else's house, he comes back and you see that he has wounds on the arm, the leg, wherever it happens to be, of course it's possible that he made it himself. What's the likelihood that he did it? It's somewhat remote, but it's possible. So therefore, to go and collect from the balabuz, all he has to do is make a shvua, nishva v'noitel. If that is part of his body that he cannot reach it to go and cause that type of chavala, the more we'll say later on, if he has a bite on his back, for instance, you cannot bite yourself on your own back. You can bite somebody else on the back, but you can't bite yourself on the back. So in such a case, if there is such a chavala, such a chabura, no to shlo b'shvi, you don't have to make a shvua because there's only one game in town, that other fellow. Maybe it's talking about that he, even though this was a wound to his back, maybe it's because he scratched himself on the back, and therefore it was not a chavola that someone inflicted on him an injury or a wound. Like we said a moment ago, that there was a bite on his back, or there was a bite on his chest in between his elbows. In other words, look where the body is between the elbows on the front. Can a person go and bite down on his own chest? Of course, that's impossible. So Muzlach Zayin, who made that bite? It must be that fellow that he was visiting. He made the bite, and therefore he's a Nishba v'noitel, and he's able to cut. So that's what the Gemara said. When do you have to make the Nishba to be Nishba v'noitel? That's if he's Yochel Chavu Ba'atzmai. But if it's a place on his body, and Yochel Chavu Ba'atzmai, then no Shvua is necessary. How do you know it was the Chovel person? Maybe it was a third party. We're talking about he went into a house. Nobody else was there in the house. Kainanish, zero. Just the two of them. The balabus and the visitor. And the visitor never comes out all bitten up, not by mosquitoes or by bee stings, but real live bites like from a person. He couldn't have inflicted upon himself if it's in the back or in the front. So then he doesn't even have to make a shmur. However, if there's a bite on his arm, so he might have bitten his own arm. That's a likelihood a person bites his own arm. Okay. It's not likely, but it's possible, right? A person can be a bissel tzedrait some days. So therefore, then he's nishba v'noitel. That's not, I didn't bite myself, but he bit me, and he has to pay for it.
Sorry? Sorry, we should also have to examine the reason he went to the house. Maybe he started was in confrontation with the
Balabai. Well, could be.
In Sanhedrin, we had a case of a person running into a cave, holding a knife, angling with a knife dripping blood.
Right.
And inside
Shimon Meshetach.
And a murder victim, and you say, circumstantial evidence, mm-hmm. You can't convict him.
Here you can't convict him on Misa, but you can convict him if he makes a shvur to go and get paid. Right, Nenacham, you're right. On Misa, you can't go and kill someone.
Okay, okay.
So back in our Mishnah, we said there's another category where the Shvuah is on the Nit'an, not on the Toyin, and therefore he's going to be a Nishba V'Noitel. So we said, what's another case? What was the Keneg D'Choshed? That the normal person that was supposed to make the Shvuah, like in a Malva Loiva situation, the Loiva normally should make the Shvuah either a Shvuah Sessus, a Kaif Bakal, or Shvuah Deraisev, was a Moidu Mikzas, or he had Eid Echad that said
Mechayev
Shvuah, but he's a Choshed. Unfortunately, he has a rap sheet. What's a rap sheet? He's already in the past made false Shvuahs, like a Shvuah Sa'edis, or Shvuah Sa'deyonim, Shvuah Sa'shoimrim, Vafilu Shvuah Shav. Vaitimon Mai Afilu Shvuah Shav, what's the Afilu? Not only in case when you have a Shavuos HaEdus, I don't know any Edus, or you have a Shavuos HaShomrim, Shavuos HaDayonim, those type of Shavuos where there is a give and take, a litigation, where there's Kfiras Mam. And therefore, in our case, where we had a case of a Shavuos, we're talking about a Shavuos Mam, in other words, a Malva and a Loiva, and normally the Loiva would make the Shavuos because he's Choshed, we throw it onto the Malva. What is he Choshed on? Loimi Boy Hanach Isbuk Kfiras Mam. An pre-existing rap sheet that shows that he made full shvuas that involved kfiras mamon. So to Mishnah, elafilu hanami the kfiras devarim bi almahu, which is only a shvuah shav, a ishu isha evan shu
zav,
where he's not selling the evan for zav like you said yesterday. So just a kfiras devarim bi almahu. That's already enough. Loi mehemen, we do not believe him to make a shvuah today, and we give the shvuah to the other party. Right tomorrow, what about earlier on in the Masechta, we had so much discussion about Shavuos Bitoy. Listen, I'm a Shavuos Bitoy. What's a Shavuos Bitoy? Typically when he says, Oichal v'loy oichal, I will eat or I will not eat. What happens if subsequently he ate and he said he wasn't going to eat? Or he said he was going to eat and he didn't eat. So he made a full Shavuos. Why don't we say that also fill the Shavuos Bitoy? Everyone, I'll tell you why we didn't mention Shavuos Bitoy. That at the instant that he's making the Shavuos, he's already saying a sheker. When he made a shvuah, I will eat. He's absolutely sincere. I intend eating. Or if I carry, intended fasting. And then after that, he forgot. That's why we don't talk about that. Which are futuristic. But when he makes a shvuah that I ate and he didn't eat, or he made a shvuah that I didn't eat and he had eaten, my iklamema, what are you going to go and say about this achalti v'lo yachalti situation? Why don't you go and throw that into the Mishnah and say, afilu shvuas biti l'sha'avar? Evidimara tani shvuas shav, b'chol de damilei. We're talking about shvuas shav, like a Evan Zov type of thing, which is just in vain, it's just Narish Kai Jishtusim, and therefore including any Shvuah L'Sha'avar, that when he says, Achalti, and he had previously had not eaten, or he says, Lo Yachalti, previously did eat, that's all Narish, it's Shtusim. Mister, we saw you eat, don't make Shvuah that you didn't eat if we saw you eat breakfast, or don't make a Shvuah that you're fasting when you saw that you ate, etc. So that's all to Shvuah Shav, so we say Shvuah Shav, it includes as part of it the Shvuah's Bitoi. Have a wonderful day, everybody.